Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, StudentUnionSports.com proudly presents to you Lecture Hall!
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Lecture Hall, brought to you by Student Union Sports. It's your boys, Big Hoppa, Harrison Simp. Hold up there, Boomer. No Simp September sillings. Your boys are back in the house for another episode of Lecture Hall. Shooter, hit me with the syllabus.
Oh, what's up? Class is in session. It's the elephant in the room. The NHL playoffs. One more team has left the bubble. They are joining Hoppa's Toronto Maple Leafs on their couches. That being the Boston Bruins. My Boston Bruins. Yeah. It's disappointing. It's not what I expected. That team is far better than how they played. You can't blame it on Tuukka. He made the right call. There was no energy in the boys. The boys were not buzzing after game one and halfway through game two. It's like they were dead.
The Tampa Bay Lightning went 4-0 after I may or may not have placed a small wager on them.
Yeah, they're going to get just piss-pounded by the Islanders.
Anyways,
yes, the Bruins are out of the playoffs, leaving my soul crushed. I'm not a Celtics fan, but I guess that's the only team I have left to cheer for right now because of Kemba.
For the Hornets New jerseys next year.
Man, the Hornets New jerseys. Cody Zeller. That man looked like an American sex icon in those new Hornets jerseys.
Chill out over there. My mom listens to this.
Keep the blog, studentunionsports.com. You can read all about it. Speaking of the NBA bubble currently taking place, the Celtics are just giving it to the Raptors right now, up 2-0 in the series. And yeah, I don't really care about the rest of the NBA. Hoppa, how are the Bucks doing?
Bucks did it. Looked great first quarter of game one. Not great the rest of the way, but right now there's 17 seconds left. Old-fashioned game between the Nuggets and Jazz. Series tied 3-3. This is just the first round. Nuggets are up 2 with 17 seconds to go. So this one's about to go crazy. I don't know. Let's see. Jamal Murray only with 17 tonight after he had, I think it's 3 straight 40-point games. So the NBA bubble providing as we get to the playoffs here, unless you're the one seed Bucks. But you know what is going to provide is sports in September. We have the NFL starting up very shortly on the Thursday the 10th, I believe. We're going to have college football. We obviously have the playoffs, the NBA and NHL playoffs still going. Stanley Cup on the 22nd. The finals on the 30th, or in that range. Obviously, the final month of the MLB, we got the expanded playoff, shit going wild. The MLS, I don't really care about MLS, WNBA stuff still going on. We got the Kentucky Derby. We got the U.S. and French Open for tennis. Don't sleep on tennis.
Don't sleep on tennis.
The U.S. Open for one of our favorite sports, golf.
Not a golf podcast.
And to a lesser extent, the Tour de France. What a packed September we have ahead of us.
And looking ahead two more months, we have the Masters. The NBA will be starting again in December. The NHL again in December. Rumor on the street is the Big Ten is playing football starting mid-October.
Just Sir Yacht.
Yeah, shout out Sir Yacht. Big month ahead of us. Big couple months farther ahead of us.
Yeah.
Sports are back.
We made it, folks. We beat COVID. COVID is dead.
Sports beat COVID.
Sports destroyed COVID.
The rest of the world, not so sure.
Who knew the vaccine for COVID was sports?
Oh, man, it's like that episode of South Park when they say they find the cure for HIV and they go to Magic Johnson's house and he's just like making liquid money and injecting it into himself.
Great episode.
You have LeBron in the bubble just juicing basketballs and just shooting it into the forearms.
South Park is so slept on, I feel like, by our generation, but that's just me.
Yeah, our generation's more Family Guy people, which not as funny, but less controversial.
Yeah. I'm a big current events guy, so.
Anyways, off that tangent, today's show, we're breaking down the MLB trade deadline, our reactions, our team's moves, and our predictions for the rest of the season. We're breaking down the AFC West, Drew Locke and the boys. And, of course, it wouldn't be an episode of Lecture Hall without golf talk to wrap things up.
Love it.
Before we get into today's show, you know we've got to do it. Hoppa's got to give you a word from our sponsor, Gibbs Grooming.
Look, folks, so I just have to say something here. You know, sometimes, guys, when we're in the grind, we're in our cubicles, we're laying pavement on the roads, whatever we're doing for our jobs, we're getting dirty. Some nights we've had enough of the day, that kind of stuff. Maybe the next day, don't get up, don't even shower, because your back knows the grindstone, all right? The ladies, not a fan of that. All right, Lucas Giolito throwing no-nos. Yeah, that's what they're saying to us right now is no-no, sir, no-no. But let me tell you this. You go freshen up, you get home from work, you kick off those boots, you kick off those loafers, you hit the shower, you get that washbuckler soap bar, get yourself all lathered up, get you a nice sweet shave with the sharp-dressed mane shave gel. All right, you get the beard cleaned up. You get some Colorado Kid, maybe the Voodoo Prince, maybe the Bushmaster. That's the red one that I forgot last week. The Bushmaster in that beard. I don't know if you're seeing me right now. I got a fresh haircut. I'm all lined up. I'm looking good. Even the stash is going right now. This is coming in thick. It's all thanks to Gibbs Grooming. GibbsGrooming.com, G-I-B-S, G-R-R-G-R-O-O-M-I-N-G, GibbsGrooming.com. All right. You can go get whatever you want. There's plenty of things. You can go get the 3-in-1 beard hair and body wash. You can go get the biofuel conditioner. Insane products that smell great, make your skin feel great. And the ladies, they won't be throwing those no-nos at us anymore. All right, boys. Hall 15, H-A-L-L-1-5, Hall 15 for 15% off your order. Throw whatever you think you need together. Promise you, it's going to be great stuff. That's Hall 15 for 15% off. H-A-L-L-1-5, Hall 15, 15% off of Gibbs. Yeah. Yeah. Guys, this is the stuff.
You know who else has the stuff? The Ooh. San Diego Padres. They acquired quite a bit of stuff.
Mitchie Fourbags.
In the last couple days. They took my boy Mitch Moreland, a guy who reignited his career in Boston, took a 1-year deal, turned it into 4. They acquired Mike Clevinger. Don't sleep. They acquired, who was the catcher they took?
Austin Nola.
Do not sleep on the Padres. The Padres, this is what they did. They called up every GM. And they said, give me somebody. And the GMs were like, I guess. I've never had anyone make that request before. And they just shipped everybody out west.
Yeah. Look, we have the San Francisco 49ers. But this might be the Slam Diego 49ers with all the gold that they're bringing in right now. These guys are hot. They've won like 11 out of 14. And one probably the second or third toughest division in baseball with the Dodgers and the Rockies, who came out, started hot. They've been faltering as of late, but you're coming in the Padres insane talent. They've gotten great pitching to this point. Added Mike Clevenger, who could go out and win you a Cy Young any like year, you know, pick one, and adds some decent bats. Mitch Moreland hits fucking
huge bat.
Fucking piss rods is what this guy hits to the fucking moon.
I'm a steak big and potatoes.
Steak and potatoes type guy. This roster is so good. Not to mention they already have Hosmer, who's ass.
Don't. I know I called him a stooge, but don't talk bad on my boy Hosmer.
Anyway, and we have the most electric player and the soon-to-be face of baseball, Fernando Tatis Jr. All right, boys and girls, the kid's fucking electric. Like, just get the popcorn, start fucking gulping it down now because these Padres are so good, dude. I'm pretty sure I'm already on the train.
The thing with the Padres is I knew they were good. I knew they had a loaded farm system. I did not realize how loaded their farm system was until I saw the Red Sox return for Mitch Moreland. There, I think it was 16 and 19 prospect. Ended up being like the number 6 and number 8 in Boston's farm system. And I was like, oh, that's what we're playing with over in San Diego.
Yeah. Isn't that fucking insane? This team is so good.
They remind me a lot of, what year was it? The 2014 Royals, when the Royals first burst onto the scene, they had a nasty, nasty farm system. And I remember, funny story about the 2014 Royals. I used to get like SI kids religiously. And I remember it was a few years before that, they had a cover story about how like sick the Royals farm system was. And I never read these articles. I only got SI kids to rip out the posters, but I read that one. Remember, guys, I'm from Michigan, nothing but Tigers fans. I was in high school, like my freshman year of high school. I was in class, and we were talking about who could win the AL Central. And it was the Tigers this. And I was like, screw you guys, the Royals are going to win the division. And they were like, no shot. And I like said it like jokingly. I knew they had a loaded farm. I didn't realize they were going to pan out that year. And they lost the division, but they went to the World Series. So I was like half right. And then they won it the next year.
Shout out Alcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain.
That's where my love for Eric Hosmer first began. But as I was saying, this Padres team is very similar to that Royals team. And the fact that their farm system is just that dangerous. They have so many weapons all around on their big league club. I think they've won like 10 out of the last 13 games. Don't quote me on that. That could be just factually incorrect. But they've won an insane amount of games in their last however many played.
Hey, one thing you can always count on here at Lecture Hall, brought to you by Student Union Sports, is the aggressive mediocrity.
Mediocrity. It'll be on a t-shirt one day.
One day. We've already tried, kind of. But again, sticking to the most brand like thing you could do, and it just made it look terrible. Nuggets win 3 straight, by the way. Final score was 80-78. Nice. Come down from 3-1. So win game one, lost the next 3. Then they win 3, go to the next round.
Oh, and that's NBA talk. Hoppa, what do you think about the moves your Brewers made at the deadline?
So David Phelps for 3 Phillies prospects. I haven't done my due diligence quite yet on these young gentlemen. Sounds like it's going to be some good stuff coming out of them. We're going to need it. We're getting piss pounded 10-1 by the Tigers right now. This is Tuesday night, 10:05. So who knows? Maybe they've come back already. Probably because the Brewers are that good. Anyways, yeah. I mean,
you're forgetting the
12. Oh, fuck me. 12-1. Sick.
You're forgetting the move of the deadline.
Josh Hader.
The Brewers DFA'd Brock Holt.
Yeah. Sad to see him go. Who is the rapper who said it? Hate to see him go, but love to watch him leave.
That's the song Bedrock.
Ah, yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, no, man, that's not Bedrock.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, that's like Lil Wayne. I'm gonna look now.
I will clip the lyric from Bedrock into this episode.
I hate to watch you. Wait. That's not, no, Bedrock, yes, by Little Bedrock. No, that's like a very like pop song.
No, here we go. Let me find it.
Yeah.
I know I'm right.
Oh, wait. No, you're right. I was thinking of a different. Wait, that's the same song? I hate to see her go, but I love to watch her leave. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. That's on me. Hand up. I'm right. Hand up. That's on me.
Shout out Young Money. Gosh, shout I felt so white saying that.
Yikes. In these times, man? Come on.
Speaking of just people that are way too white and stuck in their ways, Boston, my Boston Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
What a transition. A team that everyone expected to be selling big at the deadline. And in all honesty, they really didn't. I mean, they got all... They
sold medium-sized.
I'd say it was slightly below average they sold.
Well, I mean, like, if you obviously, if you're looking at the trade deadline, like, on the day itself, not, like, anything
in terms
too
of
crazy,
like,
but...
numbers like, of players sold, they sold, like, medium. But in terms of what they sold, they didn't really sell that much.
Workman and Moreland. I mean, obviously, like I said, Workman was, like, a week ago, but...
Yeah, I mean, they kicked things off early with Moreland and, was it Heath Hembry?
Yeah, Hembry,
shipping them out to the Phillies. Then they traded Mitch Moreland to the Padres for two prospects, which was a very good trade. Shout out Heim Bloom. Then they traded Josh. They traded off the big ostrich Josh Osick to the Cubs. They traded Kevin Pillar to the Rockies. But
that's such a good fit for him. He's gonna patrol the fuck out of that outfield.
Great fit for him. Great trade by the Rockies.
I liked him in Boston. I'm a huge Kevin Pillar guy.
But the thing is, everyone was expecting them to trade JD because we're all expecting JD to opt out at the end of the season. We were expecting a potential Bogarts/Devers trade, which no one wanted to happen, but we were all anticipating it because it had been talked about so much. We were anticipating a Christian Vasquez trade, and from everything I read, they were shopping him heavily. The Mets were very interested. The asking price was way too high. And granted, you could see why. I mean, he's numbered the second or third best offensive catcher in baseball right now, with JT Realmuto being number one. And that's the reason why Hop is going to Baseball Reference right now. So
no, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. But
we all expected a Christian Vasquez trade with JT Realmuto being a free agent at the end of the year, and the luxury tax resetting today, September 1st. The luxury tax has reset. The Red Sox would have had the money, or still would have the money, to go after Realmuto, but with Vasquez on the roster, it doesn't make much sense. So there was a lot. Oh, and then not to mention Matt Barnes was another guy who was heavily on the chopping block, as well as Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie Bradley Jr. has survived five trade deadlines. At this point, you have to sign the guy to a lifetime contract. He's been shopped more than anyone in baseball in the last five seasons, and somehow the dude just somehow keeps finding his way into Fenway Park. And I love JBJ. He's the best defensive center fielder in baseball. If he had a bat, he'd probably be the best center fielder in baseball. He's the best center fielder in Red Sox history. But that lack of the bat is what kills him, and is the reason why he's on the trade or the trading block every single trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as somebody who, I've said this a million times on the show, but like, as somebody who has kept up with the Red Sox because of friends liking the Red Sox, I think it was the exact right move. I was talking with another friend who just kept texting me over through the deadline and through the deals because I was getting just pummeled at work. But he was like, how do you not, like, why did you, like, ship everybody out? Like, why didn't they do more? And I was like, well, here's the thing is they're going to the luxury tax resetting today. And then not to mention the fact that, like, you have to keep somebody. Like, you have to have a reason for the fans to come to the ball game next year, especially after this year with no fans and all that. Like, you have to have at least somebody. So that means you have to keep Devers or Bogarts, which they ended up keeping both because they're both young. They've both been there long enough where they're your tenured players, and they're still fucking amazing players. I don't think Bogarts gets enough love.
He doesn't. He wasn't an all-star last year, even though he was the best shortstop in baseball. But yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. JBJ, obviously, the Boston, the people who are set in their ways love defense, so they love JBJ. And then what they do, they basically got a bunch of prospects. So you're reading up on these guys. Like you said, it like immediately makes the farm system better. And most of these guys you're going to see in spring next year, and then you're going to see them probably right away in May. So I think Heimblum had a perfect mix of selling off the pieces that you're going to miss and selling them to the right teams who are going to give you the right, who gave you the right guys to get back and create a team around. You're going to have Chris Sale back, hopefully. It seems like May or June, hopefully, next year, hopefully. I think it's like beginning of May is what it's slated as the last time that I saw anything, but.
Yeah.
So you're going to have your ace. Obviously, the pitching is still terrifying, but they got mostly pitchers back. I think the Red Sox did the right thing.
My thing with the Red Sox is how you – this is what I envisioned happening was we would keep Devers, we would keep Bogarts, we'd keep Chavis, we'd get rid of Moreland, we'd bring up Bobby Dalbec to play first base, we would trade out Vasquez, sign Real Muto, and we would – we would keep Benny, hopefully, and hope and pray that he comes back from the DL just a completely different person than what he was. I mean, the dude sucked. We pray for the 2017 Benintendi or 2016 Benintendi, whichever version of him was good. You keep JBJ in center. You can't get rid of him. Or you move him. Yeah, you keep him in center, and then you sign George Springer to play right, and then you also need to bring in Trevor Bauer because you need a pitcher. Now, with what's happened...
I'm not including possibilities with JD.
Yeah, and then with what's happened, I think now is what they're going to be trying to make a push for Bauer and Springer still, and then trying to leverage that into getting JD to opt back in, saying, like, look, we have Chris Sale, we hopefully have Eduardo Rodriguez back, signed Trevor Bauer. You have Nathan Eovaldi, who is not 2018 World Series Nathan Eovaldi, but he could be
at any fucking moment.
He could be at any moment, and as a fourth starter, a guy who's probably going to have like a 4-5 ERA, not great, but not bad. He's serviceable if you can – with an offense that is as good as the Red Sox offense should be and could be. That's not bad. And then you have a fifth starter in Martin Perez. I mean, everyone gets up for Perez Day. It's a holiday every week in Boston. So, I mean, that pitching rotation would be serviceable. And then these prospects, they get back, ship them straight to the bullpen because that's where we're going to need the most help if the pitching rotation works out. That's kind of where I see things going. We're not a Red Sox podcast. We were one day when we had Steve Peralt on and when we had the Legends Lingo guys on, and we're kind of leaning that way again tonight. Trust me,
speaking
we're not a Red
Sox Peralt,
podcast.
Did he shave the stash? I didn't see.
I don't know. I haven't seen. I hope that after he did, he put some Gibbs beard oil on it to soften up that skin a little bit so it wasn't so itchy and scratchy afterwards. Looking out for our boy, might have to ship him some samples.
Yeah, I have to get some fucking gifts out to that guy.
All right, before we move on to the AFC West, who is your favorite from the AL? Who's your favorite from the NL to move to the World Series after we've seen all these deadline acquisitions?
I think the thing that is so important for this season that everybody was kind of talking about is who are the teams that are going to come in and fuck shit up because they're young and don't give a fuck, and it's going to be a short sprint. And if you go check out our boy Danny Vietti's Twitter, his pinned tweet is him calling a 2021 World Series between the Padres and White Sox. And I think he's a year early because of COVID. I think you see the Padres and the White Sox, both of them, they're extremely underrated pitching staffs, have insane bats, and I think they both get there. And I do think that the San Diego Padres win this World Series.
All right. My counter to that is, you know, when I was in Atlanta for New Year's Eve, and when that clock switched from 11:59 p.m. to 12 a.m., I got on my phone and I looked up the Chinese calendar, and the Chinese calendar just happened to say that 2020 is the year of the Devil Ray. Yeah, that's right. The Tampa Bay Rays are on an absolute tear right now. You were saying a team that can benefit from a short sprint season. It is Tampa. They have the pitching to do it, and they have the bats to just get them there.
Yeah,
I think that the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be a force to be reckoned with. They're absolutely demolishing the Yankees right now. It's just a matter of, I mean, their biggest threat in the AL, it, like you said, is going to be the White Sox. And then from the NL side, I like the Padres a lot. I think they're a fun team. It's just too hard to bet against the Dodgers right now. I think the Dodgers go back for the third time in 4 years. And, I mean, it's the year of the Devil Rays. It's not the year of the Dodger. But if I was a betting man, which I am not, my money would be on the Dodgers there. Although I think the Rays could give them a run for their money, but the Rays are definitely my favorite in the American League.
Wow. I think that's – I don't think you're far off there. Glasnow kind of started not great, but he's been getting back into that. Yeah, he's figured it out, and he figured it out quick. It's going to be – I think the thing that I'm even most looking forward to is just seeing some of these young studs, the Giolitos, the Glasnows, all of these young studs that we have right now in the game that are pitchers just absolutely
Shane Bieber.
Bieber throwing just the most dirt nastiest shit ever. So I'm super excited for baseball.
Yeah, fun fact before we move on to the AFC West, Bieber's rookie year, I got to watch him pitch against the A's in Cleveland, and he got absolutely shelled. And now he's good. So that's the Harrison bump. The shooter bump. That sounds like a cocaine reference. Moving on to the AFC West.
Speaking of cocaine, Drew Lock is my form of cocaine, folks. Ever since I was big on him at the end of last year, I was big on him for fantasy this year. I think he's going to be awesome, and I was big on him for our student union Madden tournament. So I'm Drew Lock is my cocaine.
All right. Yes, Drew Lock plays in the AFC West, but finishing last place in the AFC West last year was the Los Angeles Chargers, who are also on Hard Knocks if you have HBO. I don't. If one of you listeners wants to give me their HBO, that'd be much appreciated. They were 5-11 last season. Not good. Their former quarterback, Philip Rivers, is now my QB. My QB1 in Indy. They drafted Justin Herbert with, what, the third pick, fourth pick?
Yeah, somewhere in
top there. Five pick on Justin Herbert, rookie quarterback out of Oregon. They lost Melvin Gordon to the Broncos, right?
Yes.
They still have Austin Eckler. Don't sleep on Justin Jackson as a RB2.
Big Northwestern guy.
Not a big Northwestern guy, but Justin Jackson's pretty good. What do they have? They have Joey Bosa, right? Not Nick. Nick's in San Francisco.
Correct, Joey.
They have Joey Bosa. They have arguably one of the best corners in the league, but I think I just saw that he is hurt and out for the season.
Casey Hayward?
No.
Who?
I don't remember. Aggressively mediocre, folks. Some corner just was injured. I thought he played for the Chargers.
No clue.
Fill in the Derwin James, yeah. Oh. 6 to 8 weeks with a meniscus. Oh, 6 to 8 months with a meniscus injury.
Oh.
Yeah. Is he not a corner? Is he a linebacker? What does he play?
I think he's a safety.
Safety. I knew he was in the secondary. He's good. I know he's good. That's all that matters. Good. And he is out 6 to 8 months with a meniscus injury. Honestly, this Chargers team is very lackluster. Nothing about them is very sexy outside.
Tygod Taylor at quarterback, though.
Relax. Nothing about this team is that sexy outside of Joey Bosa and Austin Eckler. And even Austin Eckler isn't like your sexy RB1. He's like
the guy that he's... Have you ever seen a picture of him shirtless? That dude is shredded. Austin Eckler is shredded.
That's not what I meant when I said he's not your sexy RB1. I was going to say he's more of that guy that fantasy football players love because he gets points. He just doesn't get the recognition to go with it.
Oh, well.
Any final...
I meant literally physically sexy, so...
I'm not going to doubt you, but no, I have not seen him shirtless. Any final thoughts on the Chargers?
I don't think this team is that good. I'm excited to see Herbert after he made the Badgers look like fucking idiots who don't know how to tackle. So that was pretty sweet. I actually hope he breaks his ankle, but I don't mean that. I really am. I'm really excited. Obviously, this rookie quarterback class has a lot of hype. I think it'll be cool to see him and just see the way he plays. I think he's like, for whatever reason, he'll be a fun story to watch. I don't think this team gets much better. Even though they have a really good defense, like when you look at it. But even with James going down, I see probably 5-11 again, but
yeah, I mean it's hard to argue that. We'll get to our predictions at the end. Moving on to the Las Vegas. The Las Vegas
Raiders.
And my boy AJ Cole III for the brand. They were 7-9 last year, third in the AFC West. Am I an idiot for saying that I think that they could potentially be decent?
I don't see this team getting much better. Basically, we'll see if Derek Carr's ass has a fire lit under it. Derek Carr is one of those guys that I'll go to bat for that people think is bad.
I mean, people forget at one point Derek Carr was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, people forget.
And he was paid that for a reason. The team was like 13-3, and then he got hurt, and they had to start, Connor Cook in the playoffs?
Yeah. Carr is one of those guys who is like in his fifth or sixth year and is like doing the things that like the current like really good players do, but just doesn't get the recognition because his team is shit. But it's pretty much like he's the guy. He's going to throw for 4,000. He's not going to throw like to quite to 30 touchdowns, but that's because he's had basically shit except for Amari Cooper. That's not even a thing for him anymore. Obviously, they draft Ruggs, so that'll be interesting. They bring in Mariota, so it'll be interesting to see
Renfro finally left Clemson. They got him.
Yeah, they finally forced him out.
And let's not forget, they have the best young punter in the NFL, AJ Cole III. Second season out of NC State, my boy. We could probably get him on the podcast at some point, but it's a big ask. If you actually look him up, he's a stud. I mean, punter doesn't really move the needle, doesn't really change the outcome of the game that much unless he messes up horrendously. But, hey, they've got a good punter. And, of course, they've got John Gruden. And you mentioned it. You said Derek Carr is a guy that you'll go to bat for. Marcus Mariota is one of the guys that I go to bat for.
Both of these guys are guys that I go to bat for. Marcus Mariota is always my backup fantasy quarterback.
I love Marcus Mariota.
Quarterback that I should fucking hate, but I don't for some reason.
Yeah, what's with you and the old Oregon boys?
Well, like, because, like, Mariota, the year he won the Heisman, Melvin Gordon ran for, like, 2,500 yards and, like, 40 touchdowns. Or it wasn't that many. It was, like, 25 touchdowns. Didn't win the Heisman because Mariota had, like, 50 total touchdowns and, like, 4,500 total yards.
Yeah, and so we've established that you have a fetish for Oregon quarterbacks and I have a fetish for Oregon softball players, but – but it's no Simp September, so.
No Simp September.
All right. What thoughts on the final thoughts on the Raiders?
I'll give my prediction in a little bit, but I don't think this team gets much better.
All right, and then they had.
I just saw this actually as I was clicking over, but the Tyrell Williams, who was kind of good for them last year. I think yeah, for them, right? Yeah. He went down, on season-ending IR. Yeah, Tyrell Williams, that's his name.
And then finally, at the moment you've all been waiting for, we've been teasing it since last week. We were teasing it like four times this week. We've said his name, Drew Locke in the Denver Broncos. Finished 7-9 last year.
Bring him out.
Locke did not get – Locke didn't get to grab the reins, get it, because of the Broncos. That's a horse reference. Kentucky Derby coming up. Drew Locke didn't get the reins until it was a while into the season. He only got to start like six games, correct?
Yeah.
And he was like 5-1 or 6-0 or something stupid like that. Like set the league on fire.
I'll tell you in just a minute. My phone died, so now I have to do it on the computer. So people are probably pissed off that they can hear my mouse clicking.
Pissed off that they can hear your voice, so.
Tell that to Grace. Starts 5 games, goes 4-1, completed 64% of his passes, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, only 3 picks. He was protected really well, only got sacked 5 times in those 5 games. So I'm obviously, like you said, we teased it. I'm very excited to see what he can do. I think this Denver team, obviously they've got fucking Von Miller.
Yeah, here's the thing. They only gave up 8 more points than the Chiefs gave up last year. Their defense is still filthy. They added Melvin Gordon to duel with Philip Lindsay.
And Royce Freeman. People forget Royce Freeman, like, isn't a bad
– The three-headed monster of a backfield.
Yeah.
Okay, that might be a stretch. But
that's probably a little bit of a stretch. But
two-headed monster, at least. And then you have Drew Locke in his second year. I mean, he has 5 games under his belt, but 4-1 is nothing to sleep at. Like, Jimmy G played 6 games his first year in San Francisco, and he went, like, 6-0, and then he took him to a Super Bowl, like, 2 years later. Or maybe it was a year later. I don't even know. But who is – do you know who Drew Locke is throwing to? Because I sure as hell don't.
Oh, buddy. Okay, so this is the reason
I might be – do they still have Emmanuel Sanders?
No, he got traded.
Oh, tough.
Yeah, that's tough. No, your boy – so we got Cortland Sutton, 1,100 yards last year. People kind of like Deshaun Hamilton as an option. They have Noah Font, who they drafted last year. He ended up with 500 yards last year. This team – has a lot of options. They have the four-fingered maniac and Troy Fumagalli, tight end, Wisconsin. No, this team, people forget he's missing the tip of one of his fingers. This team is on offense. If they can score enough points, like you said, I mean, this defense, you got like Chris Harris Jr., you got Von Miller.
Justin Simmons.
Yeah. Justin Simmons, this team has the defensive pieces, and Bradley fucking Chubb if he plays.
I wanted the Colts to draft him so bad.
But
we ended up with Quentin Nelson, can't complain.
Right from the horse's mouth.
Literally.
Broncos.
Two horse puns. Let's go.
3 if you count the Colts.
That's what I was getting at.
Oh, 2-1. I thought you meant 3 total, or like 2 total.
Yep, 2-1. Yep.
Yeah, anyways. also, they just picked up 2 really good receivers. I don't know if you've heard of him, Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, yeah, forgot about him. I knew they drafted somebody.
Yeah, just an all right receiver.
Yeah, he's serviceable.
Yeah, and then another guy you might have heard of, KJ fucking Hamler, in the second round. So they load up at receiver, to say the very least, for your guys, for my guy Drew Lock.
So, they scored less points than the Chargers and the Raiders last year. They only scored 282, which is barely more than the Bengals, barely more than the Jets.
But that defense
is good.
Vic Fangio, if there's one thing he can do, it's fucking defense.
Gosh, they were one of the worst offenses in the league last year.
Yeah.
Barely better than the Bears, barely better than the Jets, barely better than the Steelers went 8-8, and the Steelers were barely better than the Broncos.
Yeah. It just goes to show defense wins championships. I can't stress that enough.
I mean, literally, Peyton Manning's final Super Bowl, dude couldn't throw the ball 5 yards.
Yeah, exactly. So,
do we even need to talk about this last team, the Kansas City Chiefs, 12-4, won the Super Bowl last year, extended Mahomes, extended Reed, extended that guy on the D-line.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, him. You drafted. Know who I'm talking about if you're a Chiefs fan, if you care.
Yeah, obviously Damian Williams is a stud, and then they just go get fucking Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, yeah, and they extended Kelce. They have everyone locked up. They locked up their GM.
And Reed.
And Andy Reed. I mean, 12-4 is the minimum for this team. 12-4 is the floor, and they can only go up from there.
Dude, could you – what an absurd thing to say. But it's so true. This is the one time I won't call you a fucking idiot. could you imagine? This team has won at least 10 games the last 5 years. They've won the division 4 straight years. Just coming off a Super Bowl, and they just locked up, like, a majority of their production and then drafted a first-round talent running back in the second round. And now they locked these guys up in, like, our dynasty. These guys are so fucking good.
And then we kind of just forget that they have Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Like, wow. This is
the fastest guy in the league.
What a fucking insane scenario.
Yeah, so 12-4 is the floor. Put that on a t-shirt. Do you want to go first with your AFC West predictions, or do you want me to kick things off?
I'll take it this week. Next week we'll have a twofer to round out so that we can get it done before the season starts, and we'll go through where our current playoff scenario sit, because we're aggressively mediocre. Totally forgot that the playoffs expanded this year.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with these NFL predictions. The episode, we had it planned perfectly, totally unplanned, and then when we forgot because of the Vietti interview, I believe it was, or maybe it was the Matt interview, we forgot.
Matt interview.
And now we have to play catch up so you can get all of your NFL prediction needs before the season starts.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go Chargers 4-12. Raiders, I'll give them the – no, I'm not. I'm going to go 7-9 again. That team's probably going to be tumultuous, and because of John Gruden always being the news anyways.
Look at you throwing out that GRE vocab there, buddy.
People forget. I'm a smart guy. The Broncos, I think, go from 7-9, and they'll go to 10-6. I really think – I hope I don't get fucking torched for that. And then the Chiefs, I'm sure something will happen. They'll probably give up at the end of the regular season. I'm going to go 13-3.
Yep. Winning Chargers, 4-12. The Raiders, if they get the Derek Carr that became worthy of a mega contract, I say they go 10-6. If they don't get that Derek Carr, I think they're – I'll give them one more game and say that they go 8-8. Jeff Fisher, 8-8. The Broncos, you know, 10-6 is what I had in my head. I'm trying to talk myself into 11-5.
That's a lot. Just to go, I mean, it doesn't happen often, but to get four more wins out of one draft class in free agency.
You're getting 11,
a lot of hype.
11 more games out of Drew Lock.
That's true. A full Drew Lock season.
I'm going to – yep, screw it. 11-5.
Oh, let's go.
I think I have every division having two teams with 11-plus wins.
I'm just going to tell you next week, I already know what the NFC looks like for you, and I'm pretty sure I have the AFC pretty down pat, and you have some decisions to make next freaking week. I have to run through so many scenarios with you. Next week is pretty much just going to be NFL breakdown stuff.
All right, and then the Chiefs are going 14-2.
Holy shit. God, they're going to be so –
this Chiefs team is going
to – it might be nice just to fucking be so good you could just fucking mail it in. You can bring your C game and win 11 games.
Honestly, if they mess around and they go like 10-6 and just take one of the expanded playoff spots, they probably run the table.
Dude, do you know how much money you could make? Like, have they should go 10-6. I'll bet on them whatever their odds are because they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is like the 2011 Colts team where they were just unbeatable. They would have went 16-0 in the regular season, and then they just decided to not play against the Jets and the Bills, just not play any starters. That's this team.
Yeah.
Come week 12, they might be resting Mahomes.
Oh, I would. I would think about it, but.
Yeah, and do I have an AFC Super Bowl team yet?
No.
So
your Super Bowl team is currently the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, let's go up and chalk the Chiefs in there.
Yeah, no shit. I will do the same. And then I'm going to let you sit with your Broncos take until I can figure out with what we currently have said on what that'll look like. And then we can do that whole, like I said, we can make like next week a huge show. Because, yeah, I'm pretty sure the first game, it's that, yeah, Thursday the 10th. So we'll want to get next week's show out before that, ideally.
All right. And boom, boom, that is the AFC West. We drew locked it up. Let's go.
Atta baby. Let's go.
And now the moment you've all been waiting for, the weekly golf talk. Hoppe, is your daughter still in debt or is she going to college?
No golf bets last week.
So she's still in debt, but she's in less debt than what she probably should have been.
Absolutely. Yeah, no bets last week on the golf. I don't know. I just couldn't find anybody I was really, really big on. And I'm kind of the same way this week. The Tour Championship kind of throws a loop in everything. See with the new FedEx Cup playoff rules where the leader already starts at 10 under and then so on and so forth from there. So I'm really kind of interested to see what'll happen. I know Finau was down. He was like I think on the book that I was looking at, he was like the seventh, eighth, or ninth favorite. I don't know. Like I feel like he could just do it at any time. The guy just can't putt worth a shit. He putts like me, except a lot better, but and at a professional level. So I like Finau in there. Obviously, winning the tournament and then winning the playoff is a little bit different. So you're going to want to pick somebody who's in that range, who's only a couple strokes back, because some of these guys are going to be fucking blasting the ball and having insane scores, I think. I don't know. I haven't really heard too much on how the course is going to play. It's early. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm riding with my boy, Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, I'm the president of his fan club. The dude just can't stop acknowledging me on Instagram. I mean, it doesn't matter what I say to him. He likes it. Like, I'm in the circle. I'm just waiting for him to let me break news at this point. Bryson's my guy for the week. If I had to pick a sleeper for the week. I'm going to go with my boy Kevin Kisner solely because, I mean, Eastlake is in Georgia. He's a South Carolina boy. Southern Golf, all those courses. This is a dumb thing to say, saying that all these courses play the same. But he's used to these kind of conditions in the South. Don't sleep on Kevin Kisner. If he gets that putter rolling, he's arguably one of the most underrated and most dangerous, in quotes, guys on tour, because he won't scare you with the big stick, but when he pulls out the putter, he drops bombs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have DJ leads the standings currently. So it goes DJ by a fucking landslide, then Rahm, JT, Webb Simpson, Morikawa, Daniel Berger, Harris English, Bryson DeChambeau, Sung Jae-im, Hideki Matsuyama, Brandon Todd, Rory, Patrick Reed, Xander Schauffele, Sebastian Munoz, Lonto Griffin, Scotty Scheffler, super slept on, Joaquin Niemann, Tyrell Hatton, Tony Finau at 20, Kisner at 21. And then I don't think from there, Hovland at 27 is an old rule name. Obviously, like I said, with the way that the scores work now, I don't think it's really worth your time to pick somebody beyond like that top 10. If you're going to look for somebody who's probably got value on them, like I said, I don't have the numbers right in front of me. My phone died like I normally would have in front of me, but I kind of like Morikawa. Like you said, I mean, he's going to drop bombs. Obviously Bryson is a play here. Matsuyama just had a really nice tournament on an extremely difficult course. And then I would probably throw in a couple bucks on Daniel Berger. Like yeah. if they have like a top five, I would say possibly throw whatever his odds are for a top five this week.
Yep. I was going to say, don't sleep on Xander Bogaerts. Don't sleep on Daniel Berger.
Don't sleep on him.
Or Xander Schauffele. Don't sleep on.
Yeah.
Also, absolutely. Don't sleep on Xander Bogaerts. I mean, why? He's the best shortstop in baseball.
Well, if you would have said in 2019, I would have said yes. Besides me.
Yeah, I don't know. You could make the argument.
You could make an argument for sure. All right. I think is that the show?
Is that the show?
I think that's the show.
I think I heard a bell. Did you?
Ring.
You know what happens when the bell rings? That means class is dismissed. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with apparently some very tough NFL decisions to make. So,
NFC East and AFC East.
Yeah. Oh, I guess. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week.
This is...